This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Oh, happy Sunday morning, New York City. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. It's Pat Boyle with you here on The Fan until 7 a.m. The number is 888-808-1019. You can listen anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Free to use, free to download. If you're on your way back from work, you were working late, if you're working early, either way, whenever the drive is done, I mean, it's 2025. You know how we do by now. Technology has improved. You can listen on the Odyssey app anytime, anywhere. And you can hit me up on Twitter or on Instagram at PatBoyle44. We got a lot to get to today. I know it's not WFAN of old, and we don't break down the Super Bowl, and we don't break down football games from every angle. But look, I'm old-fashioned, man. I'm a sports nerd, so I'm going to talk about the game as in-depth as I can. And if you follow me or if you listen to our national network down the hall, Infinity Sports Network, you know that I did every Sunday, all 18 weeks of the regular season this year, I hosted the Sunday football show, which was called Gridiron Game Day with Pat Boyle this year. So, like, I literally watched 8 hours of football every single Sunday for 18 straight weeks. And I don't think I missed a single game, if I'm being honest. I think I saw parts of every single football game this year because I watched every Monday night game. I watched parts of every single Thursday night game when the holidays and they had a couple of Saturday games. I watched every single one. So, I mean, I can't get enough. I couldn't get enough. I've already got some seasonal depression once football is ending that we're not going to get another taste of it till August. And don't give me this crap about the spring football, you know, fakakta leagues that pop up here. So I can't wait for Chiefs Eagles coming up in just over 12 hours from now. Of course, I got some bets, and I know everybody's got bets. Everybody's got Super Bowl boxes. I actually don't do the Super Bowl boxes. I could care less for them. To me, I'd rather spend money on something that I think, not that I can control the outcome. I can't control the outcome, of course. But, you know, I'd rather, if I think the Eagles are going to win the game, which, unfortunately, I do, and my girlfriend's an Eagles fan, as soon as this show's done, I'm driving down to Philly. We're going to spend the day together. I can't. We'll get into that. That's a whole other thing. But, you know, if I think the Eagles are going to win, or if I think Jalen Hurts is going to score a touchdown, I'd rather put $25, $50, $100. I would rather put money on that rather than let me hope that I get a good number. I get an 8 and a 0 or a 7 and a 0 and hope that I don't get a 2 and a 5 with a total luck, total random draw that I can win some money off of. I know it's a big thing, and I know some people, you get the allure of, you know, putting $50 on a box and you can win $500 back. So whatever, it's an American tradition. It needs to be an American holiday. We need to get the day after the Super Bowl off. And I can't believe I can't believe we haven't done that. All the executive orders the president's signing, that needs to be the executive order. The Monday after the Super Bowl needs to be a holiday. Because after watching a four-hour game with the halftime show, and we could talk about Kendrick Lamar and all that stuff. But after, you know, the game ain't going to end till about 10:30, if you're lucky. 6:30 kick. All the halftime show is what? You know, normal halftime in football is 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. Like, you know, this halftime is going to be 45 minutes. So we're looking at 10:30 if you're lucky. And after, if you're going to a Super Bowl party or you're hanging out with friends, you do a little, you know, you do some light drinking, you stuff your face full of food. The last thing you want to do then is if you're out somewhere at a friend's house, if you go to a restaurant or whatever, if you're hosting people, the last thing you want to do is have to clean all that up or drive home, get back around 11 o'clock, and then you got to be up at 7 in the morning to go to work. Nobody wants to do that. So how have we not made Super Bowl Monday a federal holiday yet? Either way, I'll give you my bets. I'll give you my prediction. We'll break down the game. We'll do all that coming up, so stay tuned. 888-808-1019. We'll also talk about Eli Manning getting snubbed from the Hall of Fame, because that's exactly what that was. And a little bit more about the Pete Alonso stuff, because I was on the air both Saturday night and Sunday night of last week, and I didn't think that the Alonso deal was going to get done. But I'm glad it did. I think both sides should be happy, so we'll talk about all that, but I got to start. Unfortunately, for the second straight weekend, on a negative note, and I'll say this, and I tweeted it again. You can follow me on Twitter at PatBoyle44. I said the Knicks are nowhere closer to being a championship team this year. They are no closer to be a championship team than before the trades for Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. And that's where we'll start. 888-808-1019. I was on the air Saturday night last week, immediately after they get smacked in the mouth and punked by LeBron, who walks into MSG and drops a 30-point triple-double, snapping a five-game win streak. OG Anunoby gets hurt. And I said last week, my confidence this year in terms of the Knicks getting to the NBA Finals is as low as it's been all season. And then they bounce back, you know, by the way, playing a shorthanded Houston team on Monday. And I get that OG's been out and Mitch has been out all year. But Houston was missing their two best players, and the Knicks still had to come back from double digits down basically in the fourth quarter. Okay, whatever. And then they win a gritty back-to-back game on the road against Toronto. But it's every time it's been a big litmus test kind of game, the Knicks have gotten smashed in the mouth. And yet again, just hours ago, Jason Tatum and the Celtics just stroll right into MSG, and they kick our ass again. It's the same story every time this year. It's the same story. The Knicks are not a championship caliber team. They're nowhere close to it. That's the cold hard truth. That right now, on February 9th, on Super Bowl Sunday, and a lot can change in 2 months, sure. Mitchell Robinson coming back, hopefully soon. Hopefully not another month from now, but with Mitch and with the Knicks, you never know. And hopefully OG Anunoby can come back right after the All-Star break. But good luck seeing either one of them in the two games next week before the break. So hopefully in 2 weeks from now, we're looking at Mitch on the verge of coming back and OG hopefully coming back. Because I thought when he had that non-contact injury against the Lakers last week, I thought initially he was done for the year. And then even then when they're calling it a foot sprain and Tibbs is saying, well, I believe he got an MRI. I'm saying, what are we doing? Just stop with the games. Stop teasing us. But day-to-day, it sounds like it was, again, best-case scenario so far. But who knows with the Knicks? You know, remember last year, we had it dragged out for weeks. Oh, Randall, he's taking contact. You know, we're ramping him up, timeline. And then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, oh, Randall, done for the year, needs surgery. Okay. So I'm not going to hold out. I'm not going to hold my breath that OG or Mitch will be back before March, before April, until I see them on the floor in the blue and orange. I'm not getting my hopes up. But either way, a lot can change in 2 months, but right now, so far, 52 games into the season, 30 games left to go, the Knicks are no closer to being a championship team this year than they were last year, with Randall, with DiVincenzo, with Hartenstein, and with the squad they had last year. As great, as historic as this offense has looked this year, you know what? They still suck defensively against any team that can shoot worth a lick and against any team that's got big guards. And how many times this year do I got to see the opposing team given the "you're too small" gesture to the Knicks players? Because that's exactly what the Boston did all last night. That's what Indiana did to the Knicks earlier this year. That's what Oklahoma City did to the Knicks both times they played them. And again, it feels like every big game the Knicks have been in this year in the regular season, they have gotten crushed. And you thought maybe last Saturday night when LeBron and the Lakers walk in and they hand your ass to you, that maybe there would have been a little bit more urgency. That the team that the Knicks can't beat if their life depended on it, and the reigning champions, the Celtics, who have now won, what, 6 out of the last 7 against the Knicks? That when they come walking into your building, and you've got a chance to continue to try to catch them for the 2 seed in the East, that maybe you would have played with some urgency. And yet the Knicks, on another Saturday prime time, stroll into the park, stroll into the arena, and they find themselves down double digits before you even knew what was happening. So this is not the same Knicks team as last year. I understand that. I understand all the good vibes of, hey, the Knicks are back. This is a sustained championship contending team. I realize expectations are different this year. And I realize it's a different team, right? It's a team that's built on offense, finally, and not about defense and rebounding and having to play solid 48 minutes every single night to grind your way out to wins. But they're not close. They're not in the same stratosphere as Boston. They're not in the same stratosphere as Oklahoma City. And you know what? Earlier in the year, I was one of the Knicks fans that were saying, I don't care about how good of a start Cleveland's off to. Please, we will smack them around in the playoffs if we see them. Really? Really? Because I don't buy that anymore. I don't buy that one bit anymore. This is not a good defensive team. Their rotations are horrible. Any team that can shoot the three or that has size, the Knicks can't stop them. They can't stop them. And you know what? I get it. In my opinion, Karl-Anthony Towns has been tough. He's not been soft. The soft moniker that he got in Minnesota, I don't think he's soft. But also, like, I get he's playing through an injury that he's got a bone chip and a sprain in his thumb right now. He's been horrible. So either the bone chip is going to affect his shooting and his performance the rest of the year, and he's going to play compromised, and it's deja vu all over again. Or Karl-Anthony Towns is going to have to sit out for a couple of weeks and try to heal this thing up as best as he can, and he's basically said, I just got to get comfortable with it. Or he's going to continue to deliver performances like he did last night, where Kristaps Porzingis doesn't play, and it's a prime opportunity for Karl-Anthony Towns to step up and deliver, and he scores 9 points, he goes negative 26 on the plus-minus, and he gets punked by Nemeas Kita and Luke Kornet. So frankly, I've had enough with people telling me, stop, this is a great Knicks team. It's championship or bust. Well, it's going to be bust. That's what it's looking like. BUST in big fat letters, because this team isn't a
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Championship team. And you can try to tell me, 888-808-1019, Pat, you're overreacting. Just wait until we get OG back. Wait till we get Mitch back. And then what? Hold my breath that they don't get hurt again? And I got news for you. As much as I'd like to live in fantasy land, with a Knicks team that's got OG, that's got Mitch, and you can have Josh Hart coming off the bench, and we could talk about how what this team needs to change, and I think Josh Hart going to the bench would be one of them if, you know, if Mitch comes back, if Mitch and OG are back after the All-Star break, because right now their current starting five is just not good enough. But you could try to tell me, hey, with Mitch and OG, like our defense, you know, that turns into a top defensive team in the league. Okay, and then what? You're still not good enough to beat the Boston Celtics. The Knicks would be lucky to win one game in a best of seven against Boston. As good as their offense has been, it's not close to what the Celtics can do. Celtics can beat you with all five guys. And Mikal Bridges, there's nights where he looks as like he's at his peak of his career, like he was with Phoenix or like he was at a couple years with Brooklyn. And then there's certain nights where he is just maddeningly inconsistent. He got absolutely destroyed by Tatum last night. He couldn't guard him if his life depended on it. So Bridges got cooked by Jason Tatum. So then what are you good for? And Deuce, I love Deuce. I mean, can we hit a wide open three, please? Can we hit one wide open three? But that game last night, to see them roll out in the first quarter and be down double digits before I even blinked my eyes, how do you do that? How is that possible? How do you call yourself the New York Knicks and this team that we fell in love with all over again last year and a couple years ago when Randall really started to build the foundation of here and Leon Rose has changed everything? How do you come out the second straight Saturday night you're playing in prime time, and you find yourself down 12-2, you can't even score a bucket, and then you find yourself down 26-9. You're down 17 points before the first quarter's even over. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. And this whole game changed last night, by the way, 70-67. They get back in it. They're making things happen. Their defense is starting to lock down. They're playing great defense. And then they get that BS foul call where Derek White, you know, like fumbles the ball to himself and he grabs it. He shoots a three and Deuce is barely in his space. And they call a foul on a three and Tibbs doesn't bother to challenge it. God knows why. I don't care what the bench is telling you. Oh, well we're looking, maybe we should challenge it. Maybe just challenge it. Challenge it because you had all the momentum in the world and they got gifted three free throws and from that point on, they went on a 49-25 run and they destroyed you. That took all the air out of the building. That foul call, that three, and then what happened after that? Oh my God, I'm screaming. I'm with Big Zoo in the newsroom watching this game. I'm saying, dude, why are we not challenging that call? The Knicks give you spurts of looking like a championship team, but so far this year, 48 minutes, especially against the best teams that they have played, they've got way too many holes in their game. Their interior defense is seriously fraudulent, and they go up against a team like Boston or OKC or Cleveland that's got size and that's got guys that can shoot, and they don't stand a chance. They are nowhere near a championship team, and they're not closer to being a championship team this year than they were last year. 888-808-1019. We can go through the layers of the game, but I want to get you guys involved here right out of the gate. So Steve is on Long Island, and he'll kick us off here on this early Sunday morning. Steve, what's going on, bro?
Hey, dude. It's always good to speak to you.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling.
Long time Knicks fan. Long time. Long time NBA fan. Back to the 69 championship season. Playoffs are much different than regular season. It's always been the case. I wouldn't get too crazed over a regular season game. The Knicks have talent. They're a good team. Are they the Boston Celtics? Maybe not. Celtics are the champs. But you can't look at individual regular season games and letdowns and say that they're finished. Playoffs is a whole different ball of wax, and there's talent there. Are they the most talented team in the league? Probably not, but they'll be fine in the playoffs.
Yeah, but what does fine, but Steve, what does fine mean? Because I don't know, like for me, I am done with the whole, oh, it's nice to be back to being relevant and getting to the second round. And, oh, it would be nice to go on a run to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, no, the moves they made, they mortgaged away their future draft picks for Mikal Bridges. They got rid of Randall and DiVincenzo, who I loved. And then I had to convince myself, you know what? It was the right trade because what Cat can do with the pick and roll game with Brunson and how he can shoot the three, that's what the Knicks need on offense to compete with Boston. And then to see them not be, they're not a better team than they were last year. Not through 52 games, they're not. And like being fine in the playoffs isn't good enough for me anymore. Like now my expectations with the moves they've made, with the all-star caliber players, with what Jalen Brunson has done to become a top five, top six player in the NBA, they've got to get to an Eastern Conference Finals. They've got to be able to push for an NBA Finals appearance, and they're not even anywhere near close to as Boston. And honestly, if they run into the Pacers again in the playoffs, Steve, I think it's the same thing that's going to happen that did last year because they can't stop Indiana's offense.
I think they can take the Pacers, and I think they can give Boston a good run for their money in the playoffs. It's not going to be a 4-0 sweep. They'll play the Boston Celtics tough, but they're the champs. They're the top team in the league.
They get destroyed, frankly, by Boston just about every time they play them. So I don't know what would change in a best of seven where you play the same team every single game, and Boston knows what our flaws are, and we can't stop them. But I mean, you're way more optimistic than I am, and I know you wanted to talk some Eli Manning Hall of Fame. So what's your point on Eli? We can insert that into the convo early on too.
Okay, I'm not a Giants fan. I'm a Jets fan, but I don't dislike the Giants, and I give Eli his credit for the two Super Bowls. But being objective on it, he wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback. He was a solid quarterback. He appeared in every game. He didn't get hurt. He was a nice QB, but he was far from a Hall of Fame quarterback. Even with I'm a firm believer that the Hall of Fame should be the elite of the elite. So in the quarterback category, it should be Staubach and Unitas and Bart Starr going into Marino and Elway, all the way through to Peyton Manning and Brady and probably Mahomes now from this group and maybe Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. You have to be the top, the best of the best. Manning was never, Eli was never at that level. So if you're going to water it down, all right, so maybe he wasn't Ben Roethlisberger, that kind of level Dan Fouts either. So I think it's a close call. He's definitely not a first ballot Hall of Famer. The question is, does he belong in the Hall at all? If you're really watering it down, yes. If you're going to try to keep it, to some level of, being a top flight player, my opinion is no, he doesn't belong.
All right, Steve, I appreciate the call, man. I completely disagree. I completely disagree because we judge football by what you do in the biggest games and the biggest game. And I know you know where I'm going with this. And Eli did it twice against the greatest quarterback and arguably the greatest dynasty of all time. But I've got some other reasons why Eli Manning deserved to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, why this was an embarrassing snub. I'll give you all the reasons why, as well as some of the reasons that, we've been talking about this on The Fan for the last 2 days full now, 2.5 days, and some reasons why I haven't heard anybody mention that I'm going to tell you coming up after the break, along with your Knicks calls, because that's what we're starting with. I'm fed up with how soft, not soft, but I'm fed up with just how mediocre this Knicks team really is when they have any of these measuring stick games, these litmus test games, when they go up against the best of the best and they continue to get smashed in the mouth. They're nowhere near closer to a championship team than they were last year. So we'll take your calls on the Knicks. And I'll tell you the reasons why Eli Manning deserves to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. We'll open up the Eli Manning conversation as well here in the opening hour. Bit of a short show. I only got you to 7 a.m. So we're going to go double barrel action here. Knicks and Eli Manning Hall of Fame snub to start. 888-808-1019. It's Pat Boyle with you here on The Fan. Super Bowl Sunday. Don't worry. We'll get all the angles on the Chiefs and Eagles games as we go through this show. Your calls on the other side. We're coming right back.